Welcome to the Fishing Daily Podcast, sponsored this month by Saltwater Marketing, digital marketing services for the commercial marine industry. Here's your host, editor of the Fishing Daily, Oliver McBride.
Welcome to the Fishing Daily Podcast. Today I'm joined by the new CEO of the Irish Fish Producers Organization, E. O'Donnell. Thank you for joining us, E, and taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak to us.
Thank you, Oliver. Good to see you.
E, a lot of people will probably be asking, what was your motivation to come into the fishing industry side of things when you're better known in the seafood end?
Yeah, it's a good question, Oliver. I suppose I've had a lifelong experience working in the seafood sector. I started in that business when I was 16 years of age, so I have a particular love and passion for it. And I'm motivated really by that interest and passion. I have a fair bit of contact and experience over the years with the catching sector. I've also had a fair bit of contact with the state agencies, and I've also had, obviously, a high level of exposure to international developments and trade and so on. So for me, it was a decision that I made because I felt I could bring that set of experiences and skills to the catching sector. And it's a very challenging time, obviously, but I feel that I can bring some change and ambition to the role.
You've been at the helm of the AFPO for about 4 weeks now. In those 4 weeks, there's been a lot happening in Killybegs and not all good. What's your take on the situation with the pierside weighing?
I suppose the pierside weighing is a bit of a debacle, really. We have a failure of effectively the control plan to give the catching sector a level playing field in terms of the control weighing itself. What's being asked of the vessels and the fleet, and this includes now international vessels coming from Norway and Denmark, is to land product and have it control weighed in a manner that essentially renders it unfit for human consumption. That's a shame, that's a pity, and that's a failure of policy.
As you probably know yourself from your experience, meaningful employment in an area like Southwest Donegal is highly important. Losing factories, processing factories from Killybegs and the surrounding area would have a major impact.
It would, like for us, not just in Killybegs, but all around the coast, the seafood sector, both in catching and processing, it's like the intel for Killybegs, for Castleton Bear, for Galway. If we were to lose that, or if we were to have continued shrinkage and decay of the sector, it's going to be a loss of meaningful employment to communities that rely on the seafood sector.
Mr. McConnell has received a lot of criticism over the handling of the situation with the weighing, and a lot of fishermen has basically said he's washed his hands of the SFPA. Plus, he's also taken a lot of flack for not sorting out his department as he promised in an interview back in 2011. He said if he got into the department, he would have a total rethink about how it was run. Do you think some of the criticism is warranted or unwarranted?
Well, we have a very, very difficult time. We have a lot of anger, a lot of frustration out there, particularly with people in coastal communities and at the moment in Killybegs. There's frustration in that jobs are being lost, people are being sent home. They see fish bypassing the port, leaving, going to Derry, for example, to be landed and brought back by road. So this needs to be addressed. The Department of Marine needs to be looked at. They need to come up with some form of solutions that give us an opportunity to catch the fish, to land it appropriately and to have it processed and to give the jobs. Because at the end of the day, the seafood sector is the backbone of our coastal communities in terms of employment, both for direct employment and for the services that are vital to the vessel themselves. So we need proper engagement, we need immediate and urgent action, and we need to take the problem seriously and to have as much interest in the developmental aspect of the business as also the control. The sector is committed to control. The sector is committed to best practice. We have very, very fine vessels. We have state-of-the-art processing facilities, but we do need the support of the state agencies to go forward and to develop and to grow.
There is an amended control plan in the process of being submitted. Well, it has been submitted to the EU Commission, but there's amendments being attached to it. Do you think any new control plan can fix the distrust and upset between the fishing industry and the SFPA?
Well, the current control plan is an interim one, which was introduced at the beginning of the year. We are led to believe that the new control plan has been submitted in March to the EU Commission for approval. But we're also understanding that the existing control plan, the interim one, is being extended now until the end of the year. The control plan in its current format is not fit for purpose, and we have no reason to believe that the new permanent control plan will be much improved on this. We need to address certain key issues around the control of and the weighing of fish products, solutions that are similar to those being implemented in the rest of Europe and that give us the level playing field that we're entitled to, and which forms part of the common fisheries policy.
Where do you think the failure is when we can't get a control plan that works? I know our setup is different in Ireland to most other European countries where the factories are peer side and everything else, but there seems to be nobody picking up what the fishing industry is saying that needs to be done. And it seems to be a very one-sided conversation from the department and the SFPA.
I mean, essentially what we need is a degree of common sense. We need to look at what is being done, look at the investment that's in the factories themselves, in the technology to weigh the fish. We have a unique situation in that all of our factories now have online cameras recording the actual weighing of the product. That's actually a live feed into the control authorities themselves. We've got 31-day backup. What else is required? I mean, we just need to address the fact that the factories and the vessels are committed to sustainability. They are committed to compliance, and we just need engagement with the authorities to ensure that the control plan reflects the needs of shore-based factories. We're unique. We have shore-based factories. The Dutch have most of their processing at sea, and they don't have the same compliance requirements that we have. All we need is a level playing field.
Another area where we don't have a level playing field is the Common Fisheries Policy. The Common Fisheries Policy review is happening now at the moment. What's your opinion on it?
Okay, well, we have the Common Fisheries Policy review. The review itself is a bit of a misnomer because essentially what's looked at or what's required by the EU at this time is not a review of the CFP. It's actually a report on the CFP itself. We have a task force. We've had three meetings so far. We're looking at basically innovative ways of optimizing the position for Ireland in relation to entitlements and quotas and so on. But the reality, the crushing reality of all of this is that essentially, if we don't have the political support of our own state, but more importantly, of the EU, there will be no change. Other member states are not going to give quota back to us at their own expense. They value their seafood, they value their quotas, and they're not going to transfer them to us unless they really have to. We have the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, which is also a factor here. We've transferred so much of our stocks and quotas to the UK, and that's a significant loss. And this needs to be factored into our discussions and review of the CFP. But I caution that what we have is a limited scope and a very short time scale to achieve anything. And I don't hold out much hope of getting much more by way of quota for our members in that regard.
Unless Ireland gets something out of this review or report or something from the EU within the next, say, 9 months, we are looking at a very sort of bleak prospect. We've got the Seafood Sector Task Force report calling for decommissioning, which we'd lose 30% for whitefish fleet.
Yes.
So, you know, you weren't part of that process. You weren't there at the meetings. But some of the recommendations includes the permanent voluntary cessation scheme. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on that from a national or from a Maryland Inc. point of view. I really think it's a shame that the small fleet that we have, that we are setting out now to decommission 30% of our demersal fleet. This is really a retrograde grade step. It's a step back for the industry. It would result in a loss of long-term employment, both offshore in the catching and onshore. And once this is decommissioned, it's forever. The capacity is lost, the jobs are lost, the culture of fishing, it's a generational thing. We've lost those jobs forever. So whilst it's necessary, given the fact that our quotas are so reduced, it's still regrettable.
And another area that's lost as well is skills. Like, we're looking at a lot of our fishing industry now.
Yes.
Elder skippers are looking at the scheme and thinking about retiring. We've got young people coming along, and there's no opportunities for them to become boat owners or skippers. And as you say, this is a long-term effect. What would you say to young people who's wanting to come into the industry at the moment? Do you think should have confidence moving forward, or do you think that, you know, we've sort of hit a wall?
Well, we have come to a crossroads, but I still think that on an ongoing basis, we have a very valuable protein that's been caught off the west coast of Ireland. It's in big demand internationally. The value of this as a food source, as a high quality food source, will continue, I think, to increase. There will be opportunities, but unfortunately, what we have is a downsizing of what is already a very small fleet by EU standards.
It seems like a lot of the bigger players in Europe hasn't been impacted by the by Brexit or the trade and cooperation agreement.
No.
Ireland has seemed to be singled out for this. And we've heard from the Director General of DG Mare, Tony Vitiva, who said that Ireland will not be entitled to any more quota than what we have. Is there a misunderstanding there that, you know, in Europe, do you think that the fishermen are acceptable of this?
Well, the fishermen are not accepting this, obviously, or they're not happy with it. We're all very angry about what has happened. But time has moved on. We're a year and a half into a process now where our quotas have been transferred to the UK. It's a disproportionate hit. It affects particularly the mackerel sector and also the langoustine sector hardest. There's no commitment really from the EU to address this. And we have to fight. We have to see if there's some form of rebalancing of the situation so that our European partners balance up what we have been lost, so that our losses are proportionate to other member states. But this needs political will. This needs commitment all around. And it starts with our own government.
You're in a unique position of being the only national fish producer that covers the whole of Ireland. How can you use that position in dealing with fisheries issues?
Well, it's good in that when we're representing the sector internationally or nationally, we are a national body. We have membership from the East Coast, from Claverhead to Castletown to Dingle to Galway to Donegal. We are the oldest producer organization. We have producer organization status. We have to use that to build alliances, to liaise with other POs, both within Ireland and within Europe, to work with various advisory councils to see what can be done to best represent our members, both nationally and internationally. So it's a big challenge. It's a big responsibility. And it's up to us to give a voice to our members to represent their interests as best we can. And as part of that, we have to bring the discussion and the narrative, not just to our own agencies, but into Europe as well.
Looking ahead, Eve, over the next 2-3 years, what do you hope to achieve in the AFPO?
Well, there's a couple of very pressing issues that need to be focused on. The first one, obviously, is to make sure that we have a fit for purpose control plan. We need to have proper engagement with the control authorities and with policy development in the state. The second issue, obviously, that we're in the middle of this process at the moment, is the common fisheries policy, to see what can, if anything, can be achieved to improve our lot, to improve our quotas, to improve our entitlement. And that's a big challenge. Looking into the future, it's all about representation. It's about being relevant to our members and to make sure that there's a proper communication channel and a proper narrative to explain to both our own politicians and to our agencies and to the European agencies that we have a very proud and long culture of fishing and processing, and that that is the backbone of our communities. We're sitting on a very significant resource of seafood protein on the west coast of Ireland. It's the best fishing grounds in Western Europe. We have a demand for this product. We have the people, we have the vessels, we have the processing facilities, but we need to have proper access and entitlement to this, because the demand for food is going to continue, and we need to have that to be recognized by all players.
Offshore energy production seems to be a controversial topic at the moment for the fishing industry.
Yes.
Where's your stance on that?
Well, we need to have proper engagement with the catching sector as stakeholders in all of this. We don't have that proper level of engagement at the moment. Offshore renewable energy is competing with fishing for the actual seabed itself. And the reality is that for many of these facilities, when they're established, the fishermen will be displaced. There's going to be displacement of access to the fishing waters. So there's a competition out there for access to catching. If it's going to happen to a certain extent, fishermen are going to have some form of engagement. And in the event that they proceed, there's going to have to be some form of proper compensation for the players in that regard. So we're certainly, from our side, we're committed to engaging with these people and to give advice to our fisher folk as the key stakeholders. We have entitlements to catching in these areas, entitlements that can't be ignored, and they have to be taken account of.
And suppose another area as well that the fishing industry is getting hammered in is for bottom trawling, which a lot of the Irish fleet does.
Yes.
Offshore fleet are bottom trawlers. This idea that fishing boats are trawling all over the place, that's a myth, isn't it?
It's a myth. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation, particularly at EU level, driven by some NGOs. But the catching sector has formed an alliance at EU level. It's a bottom fishing alliance to take this to task, to address the issues, to ensure that the information that's provided by the other side is clear and robust and scientifically stands up. Bottom trawling is a fact of life. It's very necessary. And some of the literature out there by some of the parties is false and incorrect.
Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And hopefully we'll hear from you soon again. You'll give us an update on what's happening within the fishing industry and within the organization.
Thanks, Oliver. We'll keep in touch.